Okay, here we go. Hey, so I just want to talk about thoughts this morning. As I mentioned, you know, we've talked about this before, but I think it's just really important, particularly in the climate that we're in at the moment. And so I just want to start with some questions. Then we're going to look at Psalm 139 and Isaiah 55. So if you've got your Bible, as well as your coffee, we'll get into it. So first question this morning is, do you ever think about your thinking? Here's a question. Where is your thinking taking you? If you think about, if you continue to think in the same way for the next 5 years, where will you be? How does your thinking affect the relationships that are around you? How do you think about your accomplishments? How do you think about failures? How do you think about things that have in the past? How does the thinking affect your perceptions? You know, I think of that old story about two men looking out through prison bars, and one sees stars and one sees mud. You know, how does your thinking affect your perceptions? Proverbs 23:7 says, what we think about not only directs what we do, but also determines who we are. And, you know, it's just interesting with your thoughts. You know, I think we all know that thoughts can take you to so many places, and some are helpful, some aren't very helpful at all. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't stop to think about where their thoughts are taking them. And because if you believed every thought, you know, you could be miserable, or certainly you could be really anxious. You ever had one of those pesky salesmen? Just recently, we had a pesky salesman not just on the phone trying to sell us stuff that we didn't really want. And very, very persistent. And, you know, your mind can be like that, you know, persuasively trying to sell you something that you really don't want. And so just encourage you next time that they're on the phone or that they come to the door, ask yourself, if I buy that particular thought, how will I feel and what will I end up doing? You know, sometimes the best thing to do when those salesmen sort of ring, you know, certainly, you know, we can be sort of gracious, sometimes maybe not so, but maybe we can thank them, but and hang up, or just, you know, or just close the door on those things. You know, the truth is, when Jesus comes into our life, he changes us. And, you know, we can't simply just continue in those old ways, those old lifestyles, you know, keep living the way we did in the past. And so it's really, really important that our thinking aligns up with our new identity. And so that includes, obviously, the thought patterns of our life. So I want to read this morning some beautiful passages. Psalm 139, as I know it's familiar, but it's just really good to be reminded of these wonderful things. Excuse me. Psalm 139 says, you've examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know when I sit or stand, when far away, you know my every thought. You chart the path ahead of me and you tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it. You both precede and follow me and place your hand of blessing on my head. This is too glorious, too wonderful to believe. I can never be lost to your spirit. I can never get away from my God. If I go to heaven, you're there. And if I go down the place of dead, you are there. If I ride the morning winds, the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me. Your strength will support me. If I try to hide in the darkness, the night becomes light around me. For even darkness cannot hide from God. To you, the night shines as bright as day, and darkness and light are both alike to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It's amazing to think about. That's my first point. I want to just really get into that in a moment, but just to think about how incredible God has made us. It's amazing to think about, he says. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You were there when I was being formed in utter seclusion, You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn toward me. And when I awaken in the morning, you're still thinking of me. Isaiah 55 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. You know, it's just really lovely how the Hebrew writers, they're writing that, you know, it's a parallel thought there. Seek the Lord is the same thing as, you know, call upon him while he's near. And he said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous men his thoughts. So this is this parallel kind of thinking there just to reinforce those thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God and he will abundantly pardon. Then he goes on, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than yours and my thoughts than your thoughts. I really love that. just thinking about thinking, you know, I think it's really important to think things through at times, you know, to the logical end, to conclusions, and just to contemplate, meditate upon God's word, to think about it. You know, I think it's 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, think about what I say and God will give you understanding. I love that, you know, so that our thinking should be guided by God's willingness to give us understanding, to cause us to grow and to cause us to develop. And, you know, it says here, these thoughts are so much higher than ours. First point I want to just get into, and I was just, I guess it's maybe a little bit nerdy, but I thought it was just really, really cool. I begin to think about how wonderfully complex God has made it. The psalmist said it's amazing to think about, and it truly is. You know, so, you know, you're just thinking about the passage of thoughts and thinking about our minds as our first point. And, you know, when you consider the human mind, the mind, it's pretty amazing. It's capable of incredible complex cognitive processes, you know, analyzing and evaluating, planning, even remembrance, you know, visualizing, and just constantly trying to solve problems, make decisions. And I was sharing with Sharon this week, and, you know, I love that kind of the complexity of how God has made us, how really wonderfully we're put together. And only God can do that, you know. And so God can do that kind of stuff, you know, for our natural bodies, and he's working in to reinforce his thoughts in us and cause us to grow as well. You know, scientists tell us there's over 100 billion neurons, the cells that are essential for every action in the body and brain, that carrying out, you know, for everything from auto reflex actions to deep thoughts and you know, those particular cells that just cover it all. You know, I was reading, and as I begin to just do a little bit of research, I'm sure people can come up with much more profound stuff, and even this, with the new scientific things that and discoveries that people are finding. But I was amazed that these neurons are interconnected with trillions of connections called synapses, and each connection is transmitting signals just constantly. And some specialized connections, you know, they move through electrical impulse, you know, thousands of a second. And some, I was reading, I just really found it fascinating that some actually, those electrical impulses are moving through those connections at a speed of 10 to 16 noughts per second. That's pretty amazing stuff, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And those ones are producing thoughts. You know, scientists know that every thought releases some kind of chemical, and I'm told that positive thoughts that are generated and optimistic kind of thoughts, your cortisol actually decreases, and the brain begins to produce serotonin, which produces a calming kind of influence. And of course, you'd be more focused and less anxious in the mind. One of the studies I found was really interesting. It was by a gentleman named Goleman, and he studied his study on the mind and connection with group studies, particularly with children. And he said that where those kinds of thoughts are being promoted in a classroom or in a group setting, those optimistic, you know, those positive kind of thoughts, those reinforcing kind of thoughts, they notice that many of the children, and it's obvious, an obvious thing, but you know, there's just a scientific report that they did, but it actually widened the span of the children's attention. You know, they would obviously get more engagement when teachers were presenting like that, and also changed their perception. And it was interesting how their focus became on community, became on the we or us, not just on the me-centered. Because often when there's anxiety and all those things that are being produced, you know, we see it in our community. Those anxious thoughts and fear thoughts are producing almost a tribalism, you know, and a sort of almost an introversion kind of thing, you know, where people are just hiding within themselves. And but these kind of studies they show that children are more active and more community and helping one another, and there was increased mental productivity, improving cognition, and just they had a list of things here, and you know, improved their ability to problem solve, analyze data, and creativity. I just thought that was just really, really cool, you know, because that just reinforces something that the Bible talks about. And we're told to think about good things, to think about, you know, things that are praiseworthy and things that are true. And then I just looked at some things you maybe knew it before, but, you know, just thinking the blood vessels within the brain. We obviously can't do it. I don't know how they work that out. But scientists tell us that there, if you could link all those blood vessels within the brain, it would go for 100,000 miles. And what I found fascinating was that early pregnancy, those neurons, they develop at a rate of 250,000 a minute. I'd say that's pretty, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. what I found interesting too, that scientists, because using electrodes in our place on the head, were able to observe in the brain, the thoughts and how they are being processed and by electrical action, and they were being transmitted through neurons and their synapses. And it was really interesting that, you know, that when new thoughts were being developed and being reinforced, they were actually making new neural pathways. So how can we say that? You know, Sharon gave me a little thought, and she said that when neurons fire together, they wire together. So there's that actually, when new thoughts are being implemented, when new thoughts are being built within our lives, there's new ways of thinking that has developed where those old ways are dropping away. And I thought that was just really, really cool. And so, you know, I love what the Bible, you know, that it's basically the science is reinforcing it and you know, proving the Bible to be true. The Bible is written in a spiritual way, you know, and often are just the obvious things, but science is actually proving some of these amazing things that God has already told us to do. And so the Bible makes it clear that we can change, that we can change the way we think. That's not only beneficial to our body, but it's essential to our walk with God. I thought that was really, really cool. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 55, it says, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him. You know, some people have a bit of a hard time with prayer. But, you know, I love that how it had got that parallel thought there. He just says, call on the Lord. You know, when you're having, you know, maybe an anxious thoughts, or you're caught in that anxiety, or caught in that things of fear, you know, we can call a friend. And prayer is just simply that, just calling on a friend. And so one of the reasons that we should, you know, call upon him is that until we do, we oftentimes we don't think like God, we don't act like God. In fact, our mind and his mind are, as it says there, in fact, worlds apart. So we need to get God's thoughts for our heart. And that beautiful passage we read in Isaiah, he talks about God's thoughts are so higher, so much higher than ours. And it speaks about his mercy abounds. So God loves to give us understanding. He loves to, and it says abundantly, abundantly, freely. I love that kind of language that he wants to minister to us in those kinds of ways. And so as I begin to think about that, I just begin to think about God's thoughts and our thoughts. And often, you know, when you think about our thoughts can be often negative. They can be filled with anxieties. They can, you know, sometimes irrational, you know, then thoughts are, then all kinds of thoughts can be dredged up. And I thought how important it is that God wants to reveal his thoughts to us. Obviously, he's done that through the word of God. And it's so important that we continually are transformed, you know, giving ourselves to the word of God. God wants to give us understanding. He wants to give us clarity. He wants to reassure us of reality, things that are true, that are genuine, that are solid in our lives. And so the Bible, you know, talks about God's thoughts in a number of ways. And Psalm 92, it talks about how the God's thoughts are precious. Psalm 92:5 says, how great are your works, O Lord, your thoughts are so deep. Psalm 139:17 says, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God, how vast is the sum of them. Psalm 40 says that they're innumerable. He says, many, O Lord, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. And if I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. And then Psalm 144 says, have they good and merciful thoughts toward us? And there's so many more, obviously, but Psalm 144 says, the Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you think about him? And then we know that God's thoughts want to give and speak life. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And the enemy comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But God wants to give us and speak life to us. And then we know that his thoughts are eternal. You know, John 3:16 talks about that. But Psalm 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. And then we know that they're personal and thoughtful. Matthew 10 speaks about two sparrows being sold for a penny, yet not one of them falls to the ground without the presence of the Father. That's basically what it means. Not one of them falls to the ground outside the Father's care. Jeremiah 29:11, many people can quote that. He says, I know the thoughts that I have for you. I know the plans that I have for you. I know the thoughts that I have for you. And then Psalm 139, as we read, these thoughts toward us are constant thoughts. They're innumerable thoughts. Psalm 55:7, the Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So why is that important? Because we can't discover God's will for our life without his revelation. And so when you have a look at 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, this is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, hasn't even entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so that we may know the wonderful things that God has freely given to us. When you're born again, God's brought change. He's given us the capacity to take on new thoughts and to live them out. So the Bible, this is the third thing here, and we're going to finish up on this third thought here. The Bible talks about three things that how we can develop the mind of Christ. And so the first one is Colossians 3:2. It says, set your mind and keep it set on what is above, those higher things. Just reading from the Amplified Bible there. It's really interesting that the key to resisting temptations, the key to resisting some of those things that would come to mind, is to make up your mind ahead of time what we will do and what we won't do. Set your mind, he says, and keep it set on what is above, those higher things. Romans 12, 1-2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, by the sure mercies of God. In other words, he wants to cause us to reflect upon the cross, that the sure mercy of God is demonstrated with what Christ did at Calvary. I beseech you, therefore, by the sure mercies of God. And he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, be changed by the entire renewal of your mind. And I think the second key is just to constantly see the amazing love of God. There's lots of things that we don't understand, but to meditate upon his grace, his love, and as I mentioned before, it's demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. That's such an important thing just to keep ever before us. And third one here is 1 Peter 1:3. It's interesting, in the New King James, it says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, come to the final decision to place your hope on the grace which is going to be brought to you at the revealing of Jesus Christ. The New Living Translation says, so think carefully and exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus revealed, when he comes, or comes back again. And so Peter there is talking about the greatness and the glory of God, which is yet to come and yet be found in Jesus Christ. Interesting, when you the old wording, the gird up the loins of your mind, he's talking about a it's a word picture there where people of a long time ago would wear long robes. And if they were to run ahead, if they were to run, they could be tripped up by those particular things. And so what they would do, they'd have a big belt around them, and they would tuck those free-flowing robes in the belt so that they could run ahead. And so what Peter is saying, you know, it says, let's deal with the junk in our mind. Let's get it out of the way so that we can run our race that is before us and move into what God has for our lives. Don't let those thoughts trip us up and let them just flap around. Let's examine our thoughts at times. Let's examine our faith. Let's examine where we stand at times. And he says, in that passage, he says, be sober. You know, to be sober basically is to be free from intoxicating thoughts. Thoughts that, you know, when someone's intoxicated, they're influenced in a certain way. The perception's a bit skew if can be quite distorted. And you know, their walk is a bit how you going. But someone that is sober is clear thinking. They're thinking of reality. They're thinking of what is true. They're solid in what they're doing. They have a clear perception about life. So I just wanted to share those simple thoughts with you. Maybe not so simple. You know, it's simple to talk about, but maybe harder to implement at times. But I just wanted to really encourage you to be people who just really stay in the Word of God and to realize what we have. Can I just reinforce those things again? You know, set your mind. It's really have your mind set, you know. That's a good thought. Keep your eyes on what Christ has done. Keep yourself in the love of God. And to take control of those thoughts that would cause us to trip, you know, and it changed our thinking. I mentioned 2 Timothy 2:7 before. He says, think about what I'm saying. And he said, and the Lord is willing to give us understanding. So when we think through things, God wants us to understand. God wants us to develop us. He wants us to grow us. And let that thought of that God wants to give us understanding, let that be the ground of our thinking. God wants to develop us. I want to just finish with a familiar passage, and that's Philippians 4:8. It says, and now, my brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what's true. Well, what's true? Well, God is true. The Bible says, and I think it's in Deuteronomy 32:4, he calls himself the God of truth. Spirit of God is called the Spirit of truth. His word is truth. Sanctify them through the word. The word is truth. And then he says, what's honorable? What's right? What's pure? What's lovely? What's admirable? Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. I think that's certainly a mouthful. And I just really pray that think about your thinking. You know, where is your thinking taking you? How does your thinking affect your relationships? How is it affecting your walk with God? And let's get God thoughts for our lives and continue to build in our faith and progress in the things that God has for us. Even during these times, look at things that we can accomplish during these times. Look for opportunities that maybe you haven't thought about before. You know, as I mentioned, you know, one of the things that's been really on my mind, how do we get the gospel out more freely? And I know in India, we've made a phone connection, and one person rings one person, and we get the message out like that, and it's just spreading. And I know it's a simple thought, but let's look for ways that we can communicate through devices and that, just to keep other people encouraged and strengthened. Maybe people who don't really know the Lord, it's maybe time for them to hear the good things of God. And maybe some of the things you're learning, maybe it might be good for you to communicate those to encourage somebody else as they walk in God, encourage other families. And so let's look at ways of being constructive. Let's think about things that we can seriously do. And I just think, you know, through this time that we can not just go backwards, but we can progress in the things of God and grow together. So let's keep our connections as well. It's so important that we stay connected and just really, really, really grow in God. So I just encourage you in the midweeks, you know, I'd love to have more people connecting with home groups, and we love you. And it's just great to hear from you as well. You know, we're mutually encouraged. And so bless you real good. I hope that word maybe just resonates in your heart this morning. And as I mentioned before, think about your thinking, but think about what is said. God wants to give us understanding. God wants us to grow. Bless you real good. Thank you.